You know, every day should be a day of praise. Every day should be a day that we shout Hosanna. Reason being, we know who Jesus is. Our lives have been transformed. Our lives have been changed. We know who Jesus is. I remember growing up, I'd watch a lot of movies. And I just want to say that when I was growing up, the movies were way better than the movies are today. We had movies like Indiana Jones and things like that, which were pretty awesome. I loved to watch those over and over again. And I wanted to be Indiana Jones. I still want to be Indiana Jones. I got the fedora. I used to have a whip. I could never quite find the right whip that he had. But you guys ever felt like that? You're watching Army movies, especially guys. And Harlan's like, yep, I want to go outside and shoot somebody. How about Cowboys and Indians? You watch the Lone Ranger? You want a white horse? You want the mask? The hat? June's nodding her head. Yeah. You want a sidekick? Batman and Robin? Huh? Yeah, I would say Superman, but he wore tights. But I'm just saying. But there are some times when you see something, you get excited, and you want to be like that. You know, as we come into Easter, we see Christ. When he walked into the city, and he actually rode into the city on a donkey, people waved those palm branches, and what'd they do? They shouted, what? Hosanna! Lord's come! They were excited! He was a celebrity! They laid those things down in front of him so he could walk on them, so the donkey could ride on them. They laid their coats down. A sign of great respect. But Jesus had in the back of his mind, the whole time, what was coming. What was coming on that Friday. The end of the week was coming, and something bad was going to happen. And Jesus knew that. You know, we look at Good Friday, and we do have a Good Friday service coming up. You know, this Friday, 6:30. But we look at Good Friday, and we call Good Friday because we know what is good about that Friday. But at that time, Jesus, in the back of his mind, is knowing that he's going to be whipped. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be hurt. He's going to be humiliated. Why? Because he was the greatest of sinners? No. Because we were the greatest of sinners. And he knew that he had to be obedient to the Father so we could be reconciled back to the Father. Keep that in your mind. Because as Paul writes, and we're going to be reading out of Philippians here in a second, as Paul writes, he wants us to have the same attitude as Christ if we want to be true followers of Jesus. So today I want to look at three areas of obedience, because when it comes down to it, Christ was being obedient to the Father. He was sent from heaven to earth with a purpose. And that purpose was to die on a cross. No other purpose. If you talk to other religions, like I had a guy come to my office one time, and I probably would have recognized him better if he was in an airport and he was wearing tie-dye, but he wasn't. He has a different name. And he came in and he was telling me that it was really, if Jesus would have just said the right words at the right time, then John the Baptist could have handled everything for us. And then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. You know who I'm talking about? It's called the Church of Unification, or the Reverend Sung Young Moon, you know? Crazy, but they're still around. And you know what? Don't forget this one fact, especially at Easter, is that Jesus came to die for us to reconcile us back to God, to bring us back to the Father. And we talked about this in Sunday school today. And he left us after that reconciliation to have the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5. We are called to be ambassadors. So when we raise the palm branches and we shout Hosanna, we're shouting it as a lighthouse in this dark world, saying, we know the truth. We know the truth. We know who Jesus is. We stand on the foundation. We believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, and we're going to follow him. That all starts with Christ coming to earth and being obedient. And there's three attitudes that we can really see in the area of obedience, in the area of attitude of Christ. And first, I want to read. So let's go ahead and turn to Philippians 2, starting with verse 5, and we're just going to read through 11. And then we're going to concentrate really on verse 8. So you can keep your finger in the book if you want. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming, there's the word, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for this scripture from Paul written to the Philippian church, that he can just show us the character and the nature of who Christ is and what he did, and through obedience, just going to the cross for us and dying. And Father, as he entered the city on that donkey with the palm branches everywhere, Father, just to be obedient to you, knowing that he was going to die soon. His true purpose was coming to light. Father, he knew the purpose all along, and he still remained obedient. Father, allow us to take his attitude on and allow us just to worship you more and more in everything that we do. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So the first one today is the nature of Christ's obedience. He had a nature. There was a of his obedience, I guess you could say it, and that was simply voluntary. He was sent as a volunteer. I don't know in heaven if he stood up and said, I'm going to go, or if the Father said, go, and he went voluntary, but he was a volunteer. He came down, and he was going to submit to death as a volunteer. One of the themes of this passage is that he humbled himself. Verse 8, he humbled himself. In other words, he became obedient to God. He was obedient going to the cross. You see him in the garden during the Holy Week, if you will. If this isn't your will, don't make me do it. Take this cup from me. And obviously it was God's will, but it wasn't a forced obedience. Our God left perfection, and he came to earth, and he gave up certain qualities of his divine nature to die. And I think this was necessary. It was necessary that Jesus willingly laid down his life. Jesus humbled himself, left glory on his own, here's a word, free will. On his own free will. With the whole mind of following God, and here it is, love for us. Love for us. Jesus humbled himself by emptying himself. He gave up parts of his deity. He was always all God and always had the ability to do all that stuff, but he gave it up. He put a limit on himself. One of those was he couldn't be everywhere at all the time. He wasn't omnipresent. He gave that up when he took on the flesh. He still knew all things, and he knew what was going to happen, but he gave up part of his deity. He experienced things such as pain, hunger, temptation. He would sweat when he was working. He grew up, went through the pain of growing up, going through adolescence, living, walking, going where he had to go, doing what he had to do. He gave up heaven to come to this dirt ball of earth, where he had to struggle, where he had to be born, where he had to grow up. He became a carpenter. He had to learn from his dad, go into the family business until he entered into ministry. And eventually he even experienced death. He says of himself in John 10:18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." He humbled himself, being born in likeness. He gave his life of himself. What an amazing thing. That's the nature of his obedience. That's the nature. And he had this in his mind. He had this in his mind as he entered into the city. So number two, the extent of Christ's obedience. The extent of his obedience was pain, suffering, and death on the cross. Jesus did not come primarily to teach the way of salvation, although he did teach that. He taught the way of salvation, but that was not his ultimate mission. Jesus did not come to demonstrate a godly life, although in every way, every shape, and every form, he did demonstrate a godly life. But that was not his primary purpose. Jesus came for the purpose of being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's verse 8 of our scripture today. You see, the one thing about death is this. We were not created to die. We were created to live. We weren't born to die. There are some religions, there are some manners of thought where this is all we got. Whatever we have on this earth is it. We live, and then we die. That is not a Christian thought. The purpose before sin into the world was to live and walk with God for eternity. But sin entered the world through our first parents, Adam and Eve, and thus set up sin. The world became cursed. There was different curses from the fall of man in Genesis 3. And now we have the wages of sin. And the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That what we deserve is that paycheck. What we deserve is that paycheck. From all the sin that we have ever committed, we deserve to die and go to hell. How could God send anybody to hell? For the wages of sin is death. You go to work every day before you're a Christian. You punch the clock of sin. You do a pretty good job, and you never punch out. And the wages of sin is death. And every bit of hell that you earn, you deserve. Think about that. Let that soak in. Man, Kelly, I went to church today and heard I was a sinner. You should have known that before you walked in. But the gift of God is eternal life. Meaning that because of the extent of Christ's obedience, him going to the cross, he made us a new way. He made us a new path. See, in the wages of sin, you'll work and you'll work and you'll work in your career and you will die physically and you will die spiritually, and that's what you deserve. The extent of Christ's obedience in his purpose was to die in our place. He took the pain and he took the shame. He took it upon himself and he says, "You are free." And let me tell you something. He did not have to do that. Sometimes as Americans, we think we're entitled. We're entitled to the better life. We're entitled to have this or have that. We're a rich nation. And you know what? We are a rich nation. And sometimes I have to say shame on us for being so rich. Is it wrong to have all the money? No, it's not. But it's a hindrance. It's really a hindrance to understand that we don't deserve eternal life. There's nothing good in us. There's nothing good in us. Now, we've been walking through the Beatitudes here in a couple weeks. We'll be back into the Beatitudes. And you know what? Going through those Beatitudes, none of those are natural things. I just wake up one day and go, you know what? I'm going to be pure in heart. Yeah, I'm going to be good at it. No, it's the opposite. You wake up and you're going to be a heart full of wrath, a heart full of hate, a heart full of grace. No, that's not going to be there. Until you meet Jesus. And He changes your heart. And He transforms your heart. And He fills it full of grace. And He fills it full of mercy. And then we're new. But it only comes because of the extent of Christ's obedience. He takes our broken lives and He makes them glorious. He took two wooden sticks stained with other people's blood and He made the cross glorious. He took a day that would probably be a bad Friday and He made it a good Friday. But He knew this was all going to happen. As the people were shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna. He knew that their shouts were going to change to crucify Him. Number three, the sacrifice of Christ's obedience. The last part of verse 8, even death on the cross. We should understand a few things about death on the cross. Probably heard these before. Don't tune out. Listen. Write them down. Jesus died a cursed death. He died a cursed death. Death on the cross was considered the ultimate and final, ready for this word? Disgrace. It was so bad that not every criminal was even put on the cross. The Romans wouldn't crucify a Roman citizen. It was a cursed death. Deuteronomy 21 says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, hang him on a cross, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall bury him that day. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Jesus died a cursed death. A person hanged from a tree is under God's judgment. Jesus took our judgment by becoming a curse. Jesus died a shameful death. The Roman mind, the concept of the death of Christ on the cross was an open insult. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, a what? A stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. He called himself God? He said he was the son of who? What is he doing on a cross? Why would God die on the cross? What a shame. What an embarrassment. To open himself up to that. 1 Corinthians 1:18. What we preach to the world is total foolishness. And here's the verse. Though the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What does that say? The world looks at us and goes, you Christians are crazy. In our day and age, if you watch the news, it's not only that we're crazy, it's that we are intolerant, hateful, closed-minded, bigoted, name it. The world thinks we are crazy. Does that upset you? Hope it doesn't. Because we have a greater name. Let me tell you something, church. When you embrace the name of Christ and that becomes your identity, it's going to sting for a little bit. Just like every Well, what's that? The cat of nine tails? Every time that slashed Jesus' body, I'm sure that hurt. But you know what? Love. Purpose. You know, I've been harping on purpose since I took over preaching. You know? Why? Because God sets the example for us. He goes, this is my purpose. This is why I come. Now, this is your purpose. This is why you exist. And let me tell you something. You're fulfilled. You are fulfilled. Jesus also died a painful death. Painful death. The obedience which Christ demonstrated on the cross was an obedience that cost him something. It cost him pain, agony, embarrassment. I mean, they say, theologians say that every one of his senses was hurt. He felt pain physically, emotionally. His ears hurt from them yelling at him. His sight hurt, just because I'm sure blood was dripping into it. Sweat was dripping into it. They were pointing at him. They were laughing at him. And I started thinking to myself, what about taste? How did that happen? Well, they talk about taking a sponge, putting it on a stick, lifting it up to him. You know where that sponge came from? Does anybody have a... It wasn't Walmart, Rod. Well, maybe they sell this at Walmart. It came from the public restrooms. See, restrooms for the more upper class, you would go in, do your business, and they had somebody with a sponge there, and they'd wash it out, and then they'd wipe you or whatever. Well, that's one of the sponges that they say they grabbed. They filled that through of full of vinegar or whatever and lifted that up to him. Even his taste was full of pain. I mean, when Christ went to the cross, he experienced something. You know? By being obedient, he experienced pain. And I could sit here, I could talk about the cat of nine tails, where he was being whipped and whipped till he wasn't even recognizable. I could talk about the spikes going in to his wrists. I could talk about him going into his feet. And I could talk about the crown of thorns being pushed on top of him and the cross being dropped into the ground and just the vibrations and the pain that he felt. That's pretty painful, but what about just his words? When the Father turned away from him. You know, that's, why have you forsaken me? Pain, every sense. But Jesus died a vicarious death. That's one of those big words that you have to look up. You don't have to look up to him, I'm going to tell you, but it pretty much means that somebody doing something for somebody else. It's an adjective. When Jesus died, he took my sins, he took your sins, and he endured the curse of God, the condemnation, and the judgment of God for our sin. He stood in our place. I'll take the beating. I'll take the death. I'll become a curse. I'll become the sacrifice. Romans 5, 6 through 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see that? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for me to wake up one day and go, oh, I'm good. Okay, I'm going to come to you now. I'm good. It says in the scripture that while we were still sinners, he died. Knowing what we're going to be and turn out to be, he died for us. That's why we wave. Hosanna! The Lord has come. Do you get it? Do you get it? That death of Jesus was meant for us, and he took it. Oh, good, because I really deserved it. No! You deserve hell! I deserve hell! He didn't deserve it. He went through 33 years of life and didn't sin. Have you done that? I'm working on 40. About the best thing I could do is sin. You know, I'm sure if I talk to some more of you, you'll say the same thing. But Christ took our place. I'm going to keep reading. But we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified, there's that word, justified, never sinned, by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Not only is this so, but we are also rejoicing God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still his enemies, he died for us. So we can be reconciled to God. So we can be reconciled. The word vicarious describes someone doing something for another. When Jesus died, he died so that I might know and experience the power of God unto salvation, that I might walk in a new way. The Bible calls it a new and living way. Why? Because we have met our new purpose. Well, maybe it's not our new purpose. Maybe it's the original purpose. And that original purpose is we get to live. We get to live. Yeah, this shell is going to die here in a few years. You know what? I get to be resurrected. Jesus comes back and he calls his children home. That's us, church. That's us. We get to live for eternity with him. We get to walk with him. We get to see him. We get to experience him. We get to sing to him. That's an amazing thing. You know, I think the corporate worship service is supposed to emulate that. Where we stand with our Christian brothers and sisters and we sing and we celebrate. Don't forget that. We come around the Lord's table. We remember. It's cool that our church remembers every week what Easter is. But I want to take it to the next step. We should remember every day. That there was a God who died in our place. He died so that we may have life. Now, he died to show us life. You know, I've met a lot of people. I could tell you a lot of stories. But it's really interesting to me. It kind of inspired me when I was in Bible college. Be sitting next to a 58-year-old guy as a freshman, and he would be a freshman, and he goes, yeah, I was making $250,000 a year, and I met Christ, and he gave me a different purpose. He goes, and now I'm satisfied. I go, good luck, because you're going to be a pastor, and we don't make any money. You know? And I learned something. Our purpose isn't to be good by the way the world says we're good. Our purpose is to follow Christ. To be ministers of reconciliation. Because church, we truly have the good news of Jesus Christ. We have that. We carry it with us. We understand it. We worship through it weekly. And you know what? We need to be taking that to the world. Let me tell you something. They're going to call you crazy. They're not going to understand it. But soon they will. I had a Facebook message this week from somebody that comes to my band's shows. He was not a Christian by any means, but he bought our album. He said he couldn't stop listening to it, which makes me laugh a little bit. But he Facebooked me the other night and he said, "I gave my life to Christ. Where should I go to church in Omaha?" Well, let me tell you, you have any questions? That's what it's about. No matter what you do, no matter where you are, it's about Jesus. That's what it's about. That's our purpose. Telling others about it, even when you think they're not listening. Even when they call you stupid, crazy, a fool, a bigot, whatever. Keep preaching. Keep preaching. Jesus deserves all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Not just because we think he's going to come and set up this awesome earthly kingdom, so we're going to wave palm branches around, lay him on the ground, take our coats off so we can walk on him. Because he is taking care of us and giving us life. Palm Sunday, we can shout Hosanna. We can wave the palm branches around. And you should. Because it's fun. But with a greater purpose, we have life. Jesus came to take care of sin. And to give us life. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for just the nature of your son's obedience. We thank you for the extent of his obedience. We thank you for everything that he has done to follow you, not only just to bring us back to you, but after we have had the saving knowledge, Father, we can follow his example. We're going to walk in this life and we're going to live this life, and it's going to hurt because we follow a different standard. We take up our cross and we follow you. And we know that cross leads to a hill. And that we're going to die on that cross, but we're going to have life for you. Father, may we never doubt you. Lord, may we never have fear, because you give us the strength. You give us the courage. Father, may we just grow in you. Father, sometimes it's really easy to have an excuse. Forgive us if we ever have this excuse where, Father, I'm not like so-and-so. They are much more faithful than me. Father, allow us to grow in our faith. Give us faith. Father, you are the remedy. You sent your son to die in our place, to take what we deserve. Convict us today of our sins and forgive us. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and